Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. This Friday's reflection is inspired by the words of Jamie Pacheco. The power of one has an impact on many. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. On our show today for this Friday's reflection, I have actually asked a very special person named Jamie Pacheco to join me. We're going to talk together today about an important topic that I feel limits people from incorporating this passion into their lives. So Jamie, before we get started, can you say hello to everybody? And can you tell us what is it that you do on a volunteer basis?
Sure. Thanks, Lynette, for having me on your show. I'm really excited. I am a volunteer assistant director of a pediatric oncology camp hosted by Kids Need More, and it's called More Camp Adventure. And I also am the public relations manager for the organization Kids Need More throughout the year.
Okay, so on a volunteer basis then, you're an assistant director at the camp, and then year-round, you're the PR manager.
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty amazing on its own, but I know you have a pretty fabulous job that you do as well. Can you explain that to everybody?
I do. I work for PALS, which is Patient Airlift Services, and it is a nonprofit that arranges free air transportation throughout the northeast of the U.S. for individuals in need of medical diagnosis, treatment, or follow-up for military personnel and their families or other compassionate or humanitarian purposes.
And I think, you know, between patients and veterans, that must be a really rewarding career.
It's really nice to know that people have the option to travel, let's say, from Maine to Boston or Boston down to Virginia or wherever they need to go. And they don't have to sit in the car for hours on end, which can be pretty daunting after being through a treatment. And it's for any age, and there's no limit to flights, and it's done by volunteer pilots and with their own planes.
Volunteer pilots and their own planes. I just think what a gift they're giving.
Yeah. To see the families, like, one of the things that we've done is flown a mother from New York down to Philadelphia so that they didn't have to split the time between children for a first birthday so that the whole family could be together. So that would be like an example of a compassion flight. And we've flown a gentleman from Newport News, Virginia up to Philadelphia to the Cancer Institute of America for repeated treatments. He's like on 80-something flights already back and forth. They told him he didn't have, you know, to get his life in order and like kind of start saying goodbye to people. And that was 3 or 4 years ago. So, because he was able to get to appropriate treatment that he needed and it he could not find back in, Virginia. So it's life changing. I mean, it's saving the man's life. So to be that pilot, to be able to do that is just an amazing gift to sacrifice that as well. To be like, oh yeah, no problem. I'll get them wherever they need to go.
Wow. And I know, you were saying in our pre-call chat that even some of the campers were flown in to camp.
Yes, it was so exciting this past, so our camp runs for a week in August out on Shelter Island, New York. And 8 of our campers were flown in from Toms River, New Jersey out to East Hampton Airport. And then they were picked up by a bus and brought out to the camp. And we had one camper come in from Albany. And he went on the same bus as everybody else, but it alleviated the parents having to sit in traffic to get them up to a bus stop when they know all the kids get on, and then they have to drive home. And one of the parents were like, this was the most amazing anniversary gift that I could have ever asked for. My children are over the moon happy. You know, my daughter's still in treatment, and she gets to do something exciting, and I can just not have to worry about spending almost an entire day because I want to be able to give my children this gift of going to the camp. But I can't, you know, it's just so like so much traffic to sit in and just to sit in the car. And she's like, it's my anniversary. And I, you know, I can't thank PALS enough for doing that for us and the camp for donating, because the camp is free to families as well. So everything was free for them to be able to get there. It was great.
And it's not, the camp is not just for kids with cancer, but also their siblings.
Yes. Yep. So it gives mom and dad the chance to go away or watch TV or mobile on or whatever it is that they want to do. And they don't have to worry about their child's safety or anything. We have a volunteer medical staff, and we have everybody's background checked. Everybody's a volunteer. So, you know, we make sure everyone's safe for the children to be around. And they totally trust us with their children, which is amazing. And then, you know, the patients go with their siblings so that the kids are able to all be together and no one is separated out. And, you know, it's just like, here you are, you just get to be a kid, and there's other people here that get you. And there's other children that understand what it's like to be that patient or that sibling, whether it's like the patient who gets all the attention or the siblings that don't, or vice versa. Like, maybe it's reversed in some houses, but you know, to be able to give them that freedom to do all of that is just very, people have been coming. Our volunteer staff is about 70% returning volunteers from children that were campers themselves. So it's, you know, obviously something that has grown into a culture and has continued to thrive and go on.
Something else I thought was really cool about what you said was, unless you can see a patient's ailments from the outside, the people running the camp, except for obviously those people who need to know, don't know which sibling has an illness and which doesn't. So it must be really cool for the campers to just be treated like everybody else. And it must be really cool for their siblings to be equally as important as their siblings are.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's nice to hear the kids to say, like, I was just a kid. You didn't care if I had cancer. You don't care if my, I mean, of course we care, but like, you don't care that I'm the sibling. Like, you just want to see me have fun all day and know that I'm happy and thrive and just be a kid. I mean, there's nothing else in the world to do. You know, all the treatments are done in our infirmary if they need it. It's medications and, you know, no one's watching them. It's like pretty private, or we do it at mealtime. But like, you know, the kids are so accustomed to taking medications. They go over to the nurses, they take their meds, and then they just go back to being kids. So unless you're staring at one of 150 children, you have no idea what's going on or when they're taking their meds, because you don't need to. So it's nice for them to just be a normal kid, and, you know, no one's judging them. No one's picking on them. They're just there to be kids.
That's really awesome. Now, Jamie, I usually start the show with a quote, and I asked you to share a quote that was meaningful to you, and you actually shared one that you've written. And that quote is, "The power of one has an impact on many." And I really want to stick with that theme today. First of all, can you tell me what made you create that passage?
Sure. So I was, for a long time, I've been touched by cancer, particularly pediatric cancer and adult cancer had touched my life in approximately the same time frame. And I had the pleasure of being a caregiver for my aunt who had breast cancer, and someone who was one of our campers, but formerly I had known them prior to camp. So it was a family friend of mine, and then was able to help care for him in his passing, and his name's Matthew. And it was something that we used for his obituary. It just said, like, you know, he always said too, like, people are a ripple effect. You cast a stone into the water, and then you can be that stone. Like, keep things going. So you don't have to necessarily be here, and like, your impact grows from one person to many people, and it's just based on the compassion you give to the world, your attitude that you have on every day. And that's not to say I have plenty of bad days. Don't get me wrong. but it's just how you can live your life, and that you can, that one thing that you do, or many things that you do, just trickle out to other people. And he was such a force in my life that it continued on to be something that I think about all the time.
And, you know, here's the irony in this. When I think about you, that's exactly how I think about you. So it's really ironic that you wrote this for somebody else. Because
thank you.
Now, I mean, I met you when you were doing Relay for Life, and you would stay up all night how many times a year would you say you would stay up all night to run an event?
It depended on the year. So some was only like 3 or 4, and then other times it was like 6 or 7. So,
but the thing is, you're not just staying up all night. You have to be high energy, and you have to be so caring and to everybody and encouraging, even to the staff running the event. I mean, it's not an easy job to do. And that was the way I was introduced to you. Then as I got to know you further, you talk about Matthew, and, you know, I was at his wake and I saw you there. It was such a comfort for me to see you there. And, you know, I saw the way that you worked with their family and were there for their family. And just the way that you have been able to, I don't know where you pull it from. This, I mean, you're so young to have such wisdom, in my opinion, to have the ability to be so comforting and to deal with some very serious situations, and yet at the same time, go to camp and go to these other events and be the biggest smile you've ever seen is on Jamie Pacheco's face. How she does it, seriously, how you do that.
Thank you for thinking probably I'm much younger than I am, but I think it's come from the learning of the lessons of what I've come, you know, particularly in the way of cancer, and like how, you know, you watch people and you see them suffer physically and emotionally too. And you could either be the person that needs the attention when you go to take care of them, or you can be the person that goes in and cares for them. And that's, you know, to be drawing on you too. And, you know, I had plenty of breakdowns and, but what good is that going to do for the person who's possibly dying, if not going to die 100%, because you never know. Sometimes there's that hope of it does come and turn around. Well, what good is it if I go in there and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm so sad that you're dying. Well, no, right now you're living. So let's live. And how do we do that? And how do we just do it? We just, you know, like just be somebody's friend, be their ear, be their heart, be whatever it is that they need, and kind of take, not be for yourself, which it ends up being for yourself anyway. The things that I've gotten from being with people that are, you know, that I've become friends with that are unfortunately ill have, I feel, far greater impact on my life than I feel that I've ever been given to them. And, you know, compassion just, it just changes who you are as a person, I think, and it can help you. I was reading something on caringmagazine.org and all the things that it does for you and makes you happy and wise. And I actually just was making a joke with one of my friends saying, we were talking about people's personalities, and, you know, she was saying somebody wasn't very attractive because of their personality. Cause I was like, oh, well, you know, looking at a picture, and I was saying, well, you're kind of saying that person's not attractive, but the other person's not that attractive either, but you know them. So they become more attractive to you because you know their personality. I said, I am a supermodel. And she's like, you are. Like, so we were just like, you know, and I have a whole bunch of acne. Like, I have extra pounds on me, but people don't see that if they know who you are as a person. And I think once you feel that that's how the world views you, it changes who you are as a person and how you view yourself. And it increases your ability to give compassion to other people. It boosts your health. It uplifts and spreads for other people. And, you know, again, you're that one that has an impact on many.
You are a supermodel. I'm going
for my contract tomorrow. No, I'm kidding.
No, but seriously, you know, it really is a beautiful thing to be able to give that to people. Not everybody can do that. And you know, you are much younger than I am, and I feel you're wiser than I am and more capable than I am, you know, to handle these types of things with really just such grace. It's just admirable, the ability that you have to just help people in this way. So when did you decide that this was the career that you wanted to have?
You know, it's funny. I didn't really, I feel like it picked me sort of in a way. In terms of career of volunteering and career of like working in the nonprofit field, it all started with, you know, my family's own struggles with cancer or or even mental health, and just knowing that, you know, especially when the word cancer was not the word cancer, it was big C, and what the heck is it? Nobody really knows. And or mental health was such a stigma. And I'm just saying, like, what does it feel like? And also kind of being bullied when I was younger, like, not, what does that feel like to somebody? Do I want to do that to them? Do I want to be that person? And it's like, I don't know, I'll just kind of make my own way. And something just clicked and said, okay, I have the ability to, I guess, spread the sunshine, if you will. And hopefully somebody will drink that Kool-Aid of mine. That's like, hey, come do this walk with me. Or, hey, like, this is a feel good thing. Hey, you're going to meet other people just like you and know that it's okay, that there's a community out there to, you know, change your life. Or, you know, particularly in the fields of PALS, of being the outreach coordinator there, like working with hospitals and social workers and saying, this service is there for you. Just knowing that I've taken the burden. Yes, it's my job, but to know that I've taken the burden off of a family to say, sit in a car forever or try and pay for transportation or do any of those things is just, it's a remarkable feeling. And I don't understand why the rest of the world doesn't do this with me, because it's just like, how, you know, your life is just so much easier when you have a little bit of compassion. And if you have a lot of compassion, then forget it. Like, for the most part, I don't have, you know, I hurt my back at camp, and for a while, like, to certain people, I was whining about it. I'm like, oh, my back. And then I see my camper who has a prosthetic leg, and I'm like, what the heck am I whining about? And I'm just like, the pain was still shooting up and down my back, and I was just like, I'm just going to ride around in the golf cart and know that I still have the pain, but there's a kid who doesn't have their leg. Or my kids that have prosthetic eyes and they only have one eye. Like, I'm like, I'm whining because my contact got dirty. Like, I could not have an eye. Like, what am I whining about? You know, so you can pick and choose how your life is going to be and what you choose to do with, you know, again, I whine sometimes, certain situations. And like, just by changing your attitude, you change your endorphins in your body and you just become a little bit happier person. So I choose to be happy as opposed to being like a miserable person.
And you have to pick your battles on, you know, it changes your perspective.
Right.
So do you have a moment that you can think about? And, you know, right now our focus is just about the power of one. Do you have a moment that you remember that kind of stands out from the rest to where you were just kind of, you know, thinking to yourself, wow, look what I'm doing here. This is making a difference, or this feels really good.
I think while I'm at camp and I'm looking at the kids, I mean, there's a numerous amount of times I could talk about Matthew too, but like when I look at those kids and I know we were funded by the American Cancer Society, and unfortunately they made the decision to cut all of their camps across the country to fund research, which is extremely, extremely important, you know, so that we do have more lives and people living and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's here something that was around, at least for our camp, I can specifically speak to, about 25 years. So you have these people, like, we still have people that have been coming. Like, one of my friends he's 29 years old, and he has been coming since he was 8 years old. So for 20, you know, at a year because of summers or whatever, 22 summers, he's been going to this camp. He's now one of our counselors, you know, he is amazing impact on these kids. And I look around and I think about all of the fundraising things that I had to go to, and I didn't have to, I chose to, or all those things that, like, well, I gave up a weekend to go do this. And I look at those kids and I go, that's what matters. I lost a weekend doing, you know, I had fun at what I was doing. So, you know, the impact of taking that, the time that I've given throughout the year and being able to reflect on it just by watching them have fun activities, or families for the very first time sending their children that are in treatment, active treatment, to the camp and getting that chance to just go have fun with their spouses, go on a date maybe again, or just sit at home in their pajamas, like, is so rewarding and just really kind of says, puts it in perspective of how lucky I am to have the family that I do and the health that I do, minus my back hurting. just goes, wow, like, how lucky am I? And how lucky am I to be able to spread that to other people? And it's not necessarily people jumping up and down going, Jamie gave this to me. Not what's important. I can just see the direct result by looking at their happy faces all week.
So what do you think you've learned about yourself then during this process?
That's a loaded question, Lynette. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot about what my triggers are for my own self, of like knowing when to take myself out of something, because it will break me, which a lot of times people don't try things because they're afraid of what will happen. And I am a person that is always like, what if? I mean, other than being the person that passes themselves, I can't think of a more wretched thing, I guess, I've been through in holding, you know, I've been involved with families where I've held the hand of a child right before they pass. That scars you. And to know that, like, okay, what do I need to do to persevere and to say I can do this again? Because at some point it's kind of like, wow, like, I just watched a child die. Like, you know, I just, you know, how does that translate into, okay, so yeah, learning about myself to take time for me, which has always been a struggle. And like, you know, now I'm going to get my nails done more, or, you know, I go out with my friends a little in a different light of like, you know, going out for wine or clams on a half shell, or, you know, stuff that I didn't always do for myself, or like going to the beach more. So giving myself more self-care, and which I feel then is almost, I'm able to give to people even more so if I take care of myself, which has taken me a long time to learn. And I think that for me has been the biggest lesson of self-care. And it's taken people telling me that, like, hello, you have to take care of yourself in order to continue to be this person who is compassionate and caring and taking care of all these other people.
That's an important lesson to learn, because when you're constantly, when you're constantly giving of yourself and giving out, you need to take some time, even though I know, and I hear it in your voice, and you know, your passion for this is undeniable. You could hear it in your voice. Like you said, they're doing more for you than you could ever do for them.
Right.
But the thing is, I can only imagine how many lives you have touched.
I think this is where I try to be like modest, I guess. You know, I don't want to be like, oh, yes, you know. But in actuality, for me and the handful of people that really work on this year-round, like our co-founders, Dave Lewis, Melissa Firms Ray, and her husband, John Ray, and Kim Bjorklund, like, they're our board, and myself just kind of being like that person that doesn't have any things that they can sign papers off for or anything, of just saying, like, I'm here, I will work hard and get this done. I think it's, you know, we look at the masses and know, okay, they're not just here, they're here for this week, but now they're going to go out into the world and do something for someone else, hopefully. And then they're going to do things with our organization more so. And it's just going to continue to grow and spread. And people are going to think of Kids Need More, not as just like an organization, but of something that is impactful to other people. And I just, I mean, I guess it's hundreds. I am, you know,
To think it's like, it is way more than hundreds. No, it
I'd
is.
Like to think if I, it's crazy, because I think about my life all the time and I'm like, especially with dealing with critically ill children and adults for the other personal things in my life. But I think about, like, if I died tomorrow, would I be happy? You know, because, I mean, death is a constant conversation in my life.
Right.
And I go, you know what, I would. I've done good things. I mean, no. Do I have the huge house? I don't even need a huge house, but, like, a house, cars, kids, whatever. No, but have I impacted people and the planet in a small way that, like, goes out into other things? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I'm a good person. And, you know, if I went tomorrow, I'd be okay, you know, kind of thing. So it's, you know, and I think, especially with Matthew, you know, that kid just changed my life exponentially. And the things he used to say to me about how I impacted his life, I was like, oh, forget it. Like, you know, I was like, that's what I was born to do. Like, I was born to help that one person. Like, I was like, oh, you know, can you think about, like, what am I supposed to be doing on this planet? And again, like, I don't sit here and think about this all the time, but, you know, like, what are you supposed to be doing in life? What is it that, you know, and I'm like, maybe this is it. This is my thing, and, like, my impact on other people and being compassionate and just being the driving force that hopefully other people will be doing that, and just keeps going and going. And, you know, that'll be my legend, I guess, you know, my impact. And that's how it's going to be. And I, you know what, I think it's all right. And I think that so many people sit around going, you know, worrying about all these things like material items and all that kind of stuff. And in actuality, what's the matter when you're gone? It doesn't. Like, the thing that you're able to leave someone in the legacy of yourself is far greater than a car or a house or, you know, a bicycle or something that I can leave behind. Piece of jewelry, you know, that kind of thing.
And that's why I think what you're doing is so important, because when it comes down to a person's mortality, nothing else matters. And I talked about that on a podcast earlier this month. And I said, you know, when you get down to a place where, you know, your life is in danger, all of these other things become so small. But that's exactly what makes you become so big, because people need you in such a desperate way at that time. And you're such a calming force.
Thanks.
You know, and you are one person, but you are impacting many. And you're not just teaching, you know, you're not just bringing people to camp to give them an experience. I also think that you're shaping their character, because I know some of those kids are looking at you and thinking, I want to be like her. You know, I want to be kind like her. I want to be awesome like her. For real.
Thanks. I think for the first time this year, I kind of felt that. Like, I had they're called, each cabin is broken down into like age groups. And so we have girls 5B, which was, they're like 13, 14, 15, I believe. And, they gave me a little present at the end of the week. And I always say to people, like, I started teaching the campers when they were younger, particularly the boys, because they have a hard time saying the words, I love you, as do I, because I feel like those are powerful words.
I'm the same.
And I don't toss it around. Like, it's like, you know, I'm not like, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. So I had watched a bunch of boys struggle with like communicating that other than maybe like high fives or whatever. And so I taught them elephant shoe. So if you look in the mirror and you say the word elephant shoe, or you see someone else say it without hearing the words elephant shoe, it looks like they're saying, I love you.
Where did you get this from?
One of my friends when I was younger.
Okay.
So if you, and I know what you're going to do, as soon as we're done, you're going to find a mirror if you don't have one, and you're going to be like, oh, can you?
I just did it already. I couldn't wait.
And it's also olive juice, but I like elephant shoe better. I think it's a little more fun.
That's great.
So, they wrote me a letter about how like grateful they were to me. And I was just like, wow, like I'm getting a little choked up talking about it. But, and they went, one of the counselors went to like 5 different stores to find me a necklace that was an elephant that looked like it had little shoes on. So I was like, oh my God, like I couldn't even, and that was one of the kids' ideas. Like I just was so, I cried. One of the campers wasn't on their beds. I laid down on their bed, and it's actually Matthew's sister, Elizabeth. I laid on her bed and I put my head under the pillow, and they're like, what's the matter? And I was bawling my eyes out. I'm like, this is the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me. And they're like, what? And I was like, no, I'm serious. Like I'm so grateful for this. Like, you know, because when you do something, even if you're not looking for accolades or whatnot, when you work hard, you just want to make sure that people, if you can't think of like watching what they're doing is actually making an impact, just to hear it sometimes is just so powerful. And I was just like, well, I mean, I'm crying about it right now. Totally blown away by the fact that they thanked me and acknowledged me. I don't know, just got me. I was like, thank you. You know, I just couldn't even stop crying. I was like, thank you, thank you. I was also exhausted after the week. So crying comes very easily to me when I'm tired, but I mean, that to me made me go, okay, I'll be back next year, and I'll be back the year after that, and I'll be back the year after that, and next year will be 10 years for me. So it's, you know, clearly something that has impacted my life to say, okay, I want to do this again.
You just ended camp on Friday, and we're doing this interview on a Monday, so everything is super fresh for you right now, and it's got to be an emotional week.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it would be great to try to talk to you, you know, early. I know you were waiting for your voice to come back.
Yeah, I lost my voice. It's so funny. Like when we leave, the when you stop running around constantly for 24 hours for a week straight, your body's like, whoa. It like relaxes itself. And then yeah, I lose my voice. I had my voice all week until I left there. What happened to it?
I think that, you know, the stress of making sure everything's done and running around, and then when you relax, your body says, okay.
Right, exactly. And you know, for the week of camp, we really try and give them a little piece of everything in life so that if those kids don't make it to another year, because a lot of them, when they're sick in their home, they don't get to go out and do things because their immune system is low or whatnot or whatever. So we give them a carnival. We have a dance. Every 5 years, it's a prom. We have a memorial service so that we don't forget. Like, we want those kids to know, like, and their family members to know, and the ones that have passed, that you're never forgotten here. Like, this is your home, and you're always here with us. And, you know, we provide them almost like a school-like structure during the day. So they go to arts and crafts and sports and nature and waterfront, and they learn, like, all different things, yet they're having fun at the same time. And, you know, funny dance things that we do in cheers at the bonfire. We have a bonfire and s'mores and all these things happening. You know, it's a very active day, and each day brings them something new and awesome. This year we had Bernie Williams from the Yankees visit us. Like, just whatever we can get for these kids, just to give them that, because in case they are home, and or they're the sibling that, because the kid's always sick, they lose out as well. Like, there's that week of camp that just provides them with just some awesomeness.
Yeah, it's like a whole year of living in 1 week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then they cannot wait to come back.
Right. I know that we have listeners who are listening right now, and they probably have some kind of idea of something they may want to get involved in, but maybe they don't have the courage to do that. Maybe they feel too small. What kind of advice would you give them?
I think that whatever it is that they're looking to, like, that they want to be involved with, or they you know, start small. Like, if there's an organization that you want to do, or maybe even a library, like, they have different, like, activities that you can do, just go and say, you don't even have to go and say, I want to be a volunteer, because I think that scares people too, of, like, it's got to be all the time. Like, what I choose to do is what I choose to do, and what somebody else chooses to give as their hours is totally different. We have all different levels of volunteerism that is involved in the organization. But, you know, go to a walk, see what it's like. See if there's, like, okay, for the first time I went to a walk for the organization, and I know that they have events throughout the year. So maybe I want to volunteer at their registration tent, or their a gala or something, and just hand out programs. Or, you know, maybe they have something where someone can participate in, you know, like, for us, another program we have is something called More Hope for Jonathan, and we deliver movie baskets to families. So, and they're personalized to each child and or family, so that the family can enjoy a movie night in, if you will. So maybe I want to go make baskets for More Hope for Jonathan, and it's not something where I'm married to it. I can just go for a couple of hours, and then maybe I want to get engaged to the event and or the program, and then I want to get married to the organization. You know what I mean? So it's like, just find out what it is that makes you tick, and just give it a try, and at least you know you've tried. And who knows, it could be just something as simple as what I thought I was doing, which is like, oh, I'm going to go volunteer for a summer. And 9 years later, I've changed different positions throughout the camp week. And, you know, I've been to weddings of people. It's changed my life. It's made it so much greater than I ever thought it would. And, you know, I was just going to go for a week, and now here I am.
That's really, I mean, it's an inspiring story, and it's inspiring to anybody who is thinking about maybe, you know, taking that first step into something new, no matter what it is. And, you know, Jamie, like I said, you have made a huge impact on the world, and all of your campers and their siblings, the effect that they have, I mean, on so many people, you know, and they can feel like one person in the world too, that maybe at times doesn't feel seen, you know, or feels very alone with what they're going through, but they're so important to so many people, including their siblings and their parents and their camp counselors and their friends. And sometimes people that don't even know them, and sometimes their stories impact people, you know, that they haven't even met. And I know your story is going to impact so many people today. So thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And I love the concept of Motivate Me, and I'm really excited to, like, be a continued listener and see what other things that would help me too. So I think, you know, I don't know if you realize that you are one person who's going to have an impact on many as well.
Oh, thank you.
I love you, Elephant Shoe.
Elephant Shoe. Okay, everybody, here's today's go do. One of the things Jamie and I talked about is the ripple effect. And you know what? I don't think people realize how many people you actually do impact in your life. Today's go-do is a list. I just want you to make a list of all the people you impact in this world. I would love to hear your discovery on our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page. Remember, everybody, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.